I'd like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Hosea. Probably the easiest way to find this, it's a small book of the Bible, but if you'll go to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then Daniel, right after the some of the major, what we call sometimes the major prophets, after the book of Daniel, the next book is the book of Hosea. We'll be looking this morning, the Lord willing, at Hosea chapter 7. Hosea chapter 7. We'll be looking at some of the expressions that are found there in the Word of God. Before we begin to endeavor to study from God's holy Word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. And Lord, we have many, many times that we have felt our weakness, and we've cried unto Thee, and we have seen Your greatness manifest. And we come again this morning asking that Thou would help us, for we are weak and frail creatures. We are unable to worship Thee. We are unable to study Thy Word without the manifestation of Thy Holy Spirit. So we pray that Thy Spirit would be with us. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Spirit to them that ask Him. So we come this morning asking You to fill each of us with Your Holy Spirit, that we might hear and understand, believe, and obey Thy Holy Word. May Thy Word be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives, not for our glory, but for Thy name's honor and glory. We thank You again for every person that's here this morning. We thank You for the effort that was made for them to come. We know that many of them are sick and afflicted and have special burdens and problems, so we pray that You would bless all those who are sick, those that are not able to be with us, and those that are here that are not feeling well. We pray that You would lift them up, give them a special measure of Thy grace. We thank Thee again for Thy blessings upon those that have been having treatments for cancer. We thank You for Your blessings on them and for the strength and the grace that You've given them. We pray this morning that You would bless them to feel the power and the presence of God every day, and that You would bless their families with the strength and the grace and the patience that they need. Again, now we beg Thy blessings upon all the others who have special burdens and problems. We know there are unspoken prayer requests that are far greater than any of those that have been listed audibly or in the bulletin this day. So we just ask You to bless those that have problems so great they can't even be mentioned. We pray that You would help them and that You would help us to know how to be of a blessing in their lives and be of help to them. We pray above all that You would be our helper and that You would help us to recognize every day our dependence upon Thee. We pray as we sometimes pray, give us this day our daily bread. We pray that this day You would give us our daily bread and help us not to take for granted the very basic necessities of life, and that You would help us to realize that if we'll put You first and seek first the kingdom of God and Your righteousness, if we'll love You with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves, that You will take care of us. Help us now as we study Thy holy word. Teach us, we pray, in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to read now from Hosea chapter 7, beginning with verse 8. Hosea chapter 7, beginning in verse 8. The Word of God says, Ephraim, and Ephraim here, of course, is God's chosen people. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. There are actually four different analogies that God makes Ephraim like in this chapter. He says in the fourth verse that they are all adulterers as an oven heated by the baker who ceaseth from raising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened. That's one analogy that he makes. And then in this verse he says Ephraim is a cake not turned. And then there are two others that we'll be looking at further down. He says in verse 9, strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Does that remind you of anybody in the Bible that had lost his strength? And the scripture says, and he knew it not. You remember Samson, how Delilah had beguiled him. And the scripture says, the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, and he knew it not. Did you know the Spirit of God can depart from God's people? Once they begin to go away from God, once they begin to depart from God, the Spirit of God can be completely gone from their lives, and they don't even know it. So that's the expression that God uses here, that Ephraim, strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. That is, even though he has gray hairs, you can look at this as saying he doesn't even know he's gray-headed, but I think that even though he has those, what the Word of God calls hairs of wisdom, even though he ought to be wise, he doesn't even know what's going on in his life. Verse 10 says, and the pride of Israel testified to his face, and they did not return unto the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. That's the second expression, or third. That's the third expression where God uses something to compare Israel or Ephraim to. Here he says, what was the first thing? Ephraim is like an oven heated by the baker who ceaseth from his raising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened. Second thing is, he says, Ephraim is a cake, not what? A cake not turned. Now, that's not talking about a cake like the women usually bake today, but that's talking about, what's a hoe cake? Anybody know what a hoe cake is? Is that what you call it? Or a pancake? What's a hoe cake? Tell me what a hoe cake is.
Made with meal.
Oh, it's made with meal. Where do you make it? In the oven or on top of the oven? On top of the oven in the frying pans. Any of you ladies that would like to make some hoe cake, you see some of these ladies and they'll tell you. But now, what do you have to do to that cake, that hoe cake? All right, if you bake it in the oven, it'll be all right. But you have to, if you bake it on top of the oven, what do you have to do? You have to turn it. And what happens if you don't turn it? It's going to burn on one side and be doughy on the other side. So Ephraim is a cake not turned. And then he says in verse 11, Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. What was wrong with that? Well, God had told his people they were not to go down to Egypt for help. They were not to go to the Assyrians for help. They were to trust in God. So he says, Ephraim is a silly dove without heart. They go to Assyria and they go to Egypt. They go to places they ought not to go. Verse 12 says, when they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. What's God saying he's going to do to his people when they are like a silly dove without heart and they go down to Egypt and they go down to Assyria? What does God say he's going to do? They're like those birds. So God says, I'm going to spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the fowls, that's the birds of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. In other words, the congregation had already been told what God would do if they went away from him. And now he says, you're going away, so you're like a silly dove without heart, and I'm going to spread my net, and I'm going to catch you, and I'm going to chastise you, just like you've heard in the congregation that I would do. In other words, the people had been warned before they went away from God. The people had been warned what the consequences would be. And now God says, I'm going to do what you've already heard that I was going to do. I'm going to chastise you because you've turned away from me. You're a silly dove without what? A silly dove without heart. Doesn't mean there's no heart there. We'll get back to that in just a moment. Verse 13 says, woe unto them, for they have fled from me. They've run away from God. They have fled from me. Destruction unto them. Because they have transgressed against me, though I have, what's the next word? Though I have redeemed them. This is not talking about people that have never known God, never known the ways of God, or never belonged to God. This is talking about the children of God that God had redeemed, that God had loved, and that God had blessed abundantly, and they knew His laws, and they were instructed in the ways of God, and they were told what would happen if they went away from God, and yet they went away from God anyway. So He says, though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. Verse 14 says, and they have not cried unto me with their heart when they howled upon their beds. They assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. Now, this is a passage of Scripture that talks about how the children of God, the children of Israel, they're called Ephraim as well as Israel in this passage of Scripture, how the children of God are turning away from God instead of going toward God. And though there are four different expressions that God uses to describe them, there's one of them I want us to look at this morning found in verse 11. And in Hosea chapter 7 and verse 11, the Word of God says, Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. A silly dove without heart. Now usually if I were to say, you know, Brother Neil is a dove, what would come to your mind? Just tell me any scripture that comes to your mind, or tell me if you think that would be a good thing to say about Brother Neil. Brother Neil is a dove. Would you think that I'm speaking kindly about him and speaking favorably about him in light of the Word of God? Being a dove is a good thing in the Word of God. You go through and read the Scriptures and you'll find time and time again that the word dove is talking about something that's dear to God and something that's precious to God. And it's used as an illustration talking about the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized, in Matthew chapter 3, the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a what? Like a dove. And the Word of God says when Jesus sent out His apostles, He sent them out and He told them to go forth and to be wise as serpents, but what? But harmless as doves. So they were to be like doves. And all through the Scripture, especially in the Song of Solomon, the Word of God again repeatedly talks about the people of God being like doves. And here again now, God is saying they're like a dove. But the problem is, though they are a dove, God says they are a silly dove without heart. Have you ever done something and your heart just wasn't in it? You were without heart in doing it? Have you ever sung and your heart wasn't in it? You're singing without heart. Your heart's not in it. That means your affection and your zeal is just not there. And when you're singing without heart, then you're not worshiping God. And whatever we do in our service to God, we're to do it with all our what? Do it with all of our heart. But sometimes we go through all the motions, and we do some of the things that God tells us to do, but we are without what? We're without heart. We're without affection. It's not being done because of love for God or zeal for God. It's just being done out of a ritualistic kind of way. It doesn't mean anything. It's not pleasing to God. And we are not worshiping God except we worship Him in spirit and in truth. We've got to worship Him with all of our heart. If we are worshiping Him, we think. If we think that we're worshiping God and our heart is not in it, you know what we are? What's the first word before dove? A silly dove. A silly dove. You know what the word silly means in the Word of God? The word silly means simple or foolish, one that is deceived. Have you ever been silly in your life? You ever been silly? There's a parable about the 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise, and the Scripture says 5 of them were what? Foolish, but it could also be said they were silly. Are they doves? Were those 5 foolish virgins, were they doves? They were doves, but they were silly doves. They were foolish doves. They were children of God, but they weren't putting God first in their lives. And that's the way God is describing His people here. He says, you are Ephraim. Ephraim is like a silly dove without heart. Have you ever been there? Is that the way we are today? Could that be the way we are today? Is that we are silly, foolish doves. Still doves. We're still children of God. Nothing can stop us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. If you've ever been born of the Spirit of God, you're a child of God. You will always be a dove. And yet you can be a silly dove, and you can be a silly dove without heart. A child of God that is silly, a child of God that is foolish, is a child of God that, the Scripture says here, what did Ephraim do? She went away from God. She fled from God. She rebelled against God. She spoke against God. I believe with all of my heart, brethren, that a whole nation can become, and I'm talking about a nation that has been a Christian nation. I'm talking about the Jewish nation, talking about the children of Israel, who at one time loved God and was a dove that had great heart, great zeal, great affection for God, great understanding. That's another reason that the Scripture says a silly dove without heart. That word heart also has with it. How many of you have ever heard of a heart of understanding? A heart of understanding. Do you think God has given you a heart of love for Him? Do you think God has implanted His Spirit in your heart and therefore you love Him because He first loved you? And do you think God has given you a heart of understanding such that you understand how great God is and you understand how weak we are? So God's given you a heart of love, and God's given you a heart of understanding, and He's given you a heart of zeal. He's given you a heart that only a child of God can have, and yet sometimes the people of God who have been with God and they've had a heart of zeal, affection, a heart of understanding, a heart of love for God, those same people can turn away from God. That's what this passage is talking about. The children of God, the children of Israel, Ephraim, God says, God's declaration is, Ephraim is a silly dove without heart. Without heart. Jesus describes it this way. He says that they are whited, what? Sepulchers. That is, on the outside, they appear unto men to be righteous and good, but on the inside, they're full of dead men's bones. The appearance is there that they're what they ought to be, but the reality is that something's major wrong in the heart. Jesus says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but what? But the heart is what? Far from me. Has your heart ever been there? Listen, brethren, don't think we're talking about other people this morning. This is something that can be hit. It can happen. It can be said about any one of us. That I'm telling you, these people that God is speaking about here are people who once had a strong love and zeal and affection for God, but now they have become a people without heart, a people without affection. So there's a great danger that my heart and your heart can go away from God. We can become a silly dove without heart. Now what does God say He's going to do? He says, I'm going to take my net and I'm going to spread my net out and I'm going to catch you and I'm going to chastise you. And the sufferings that came on Ephraim because they became a silly dove without heart, those chastisements were real and they were severe. Go with me to 2 Timothy just a moment. Turn in your Bibles to the New Testament. There are only three times in the Bible that the word silly is used in the King James Bible. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we find another place where the word silly is used. And it is an exact same description as what Hosea was talking about in Hosea 7:11, where he says that Ephraim is like a silly dove without heart. The Apostle Paul says that in the latter days, and brethren, this is true of a nation. Let me ask you again, let's go back to Ephraim, back there in Hosea 7:11. Is that talking about a nation or a city or an individual or a body, a family? Which one is that talking about? Okay, which one could it be talking about? It can be talking about any one of the above. Can you personally, while everyone around you remains faithful to God, can you become a silly dove without heart? Can your family then, as you become a silly dove without heart, can your family become a silly dove without heart? And as the family becomes a silly dove without heart, can it have an effect on another family? And they become a silly dove without heart. And then can it happen to a whole church, that the whole church becomes a silly dove without heart? Can it then happen to a whole nation, that a whole nation can become a silly dove without heart? What does God do to an individual or a family or a church or a nation that becomes a silly dove without heart? They're snared, exactly. They're snared by Satan, and they're ensnared, and they're trapped, and they're also chastised by God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to come down for the sake of time. We'll just begin with verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you go home and read the first several verses, and you'll find that this is the condition that exists in most places in America today. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, listen now to verses 6 and 7. The Word of God says, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins and led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth." Do you hear the condition here? They're silly what? What's the expression the Apostle Paul uses? He doesn't say that they're a silly dove without affection. He says they're silly women. Now, is this only talking about women? In fact, in reality, brethren, this is not specifically talking about just a woman at all. It can be a woman. It can be a man. It can be a boy. It can be a girl. But any of us who are children of God, who are part of the bride of Christ, a woman, the bride of Christ, the church can become what? A silly woman. A silly woman that is what? How is the expression used here? Silly women laden with sins and led away with divers lusts. Can you be led away? Can I be led away? Can anybody be led away? Is it possible for you, a dove, to become a silly dove? Is it possible for this church, the bride of Christ, is it possible for it to become a silly woman that's led away and becomes captive and be destroyed? And when that happens, and let me tell you this, brethren, listen very carefully. When people are ever learning but not able to come to a knowledge of the truth, do you hear what I'm saying? There are people that have been in church for 20 and 30 years, and they're no closer to understanding the truth than they were 30 years ago. You hear what I'm saying? Can you go to church all your life and you still haven't come to a knowledge of the truth? Are there children of God that go Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and they do not grow in a knowledge and an understanding of the truth of God's Word? They are silly doves without what? Without a heart. Thank you, Brother Neil. You got exactly the phrase the Scripture uses. Without a heart of understanding. They're ever learning, but they don't understand, and they're never established in the truth. They're silly doves without a heart of understanding. They're silly women. They're ever learning, but they never come to a knowledge of the truth. Nothing ever gels. Nothing ever begins to fit together. It's all just a... Oh, they can tell you all kinds of things that the Bible says, but they're not established in the truth of God's Word. They're ever learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Do you know why? They are silly doves without heart. And if you have teenagers today that are not established in the truth and are not walking in the truth, it's because you have allowed them to become what? Silly doves without heart. Now, I want all of us to understand that though we are children of God, redeemed by God, Ephraim was redeemed, and yet God brought destruction upon Ephraim because she became a silly dove without heart. Likewise, any child of God can become silly women that are led away from God because they're not established in what? What are they not established in? They're not established in the truth. Oh, many people think they're established in the truth, but they don't know the truth. They don't really know the truth. They're not established in the truth. There are people that can sit and hear the truth of God's Word and sit there and say, yes, that's truth, but they can come along, some other preacher can come along and preach something completely opposite from the truth, and they have no recognition this is false. They have no recognition. And they can go from one church to another, and they can be just as happy in one place as another. And the reason is, they are silly doves without heart. They are silly women that are ever learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. It's a serious condition to be in. If you're not able to come to a knowledge of the truth, it's because you're a silly woman, laden with sins. The world is your God rather than the one true and living God. Silly women, ever learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Who is it that has to reveal truth to us? God is the only one who can reveal truth. And if God does not reveal truth to His people, it's because they're going after the other gods. Do you remember what Ephraim did back there in Hosea chapter 7 after it said in verse 11 they were silly doves without heart? It says that they went down to Egypt and they went to Assyria. It was going to the world and the ways of the world. It was having their affection on things of the earth rather than on things of love that caused them to become... They didn't start out, listen, brethren, they didn't start out silly doves. They became silly doves without heart. Did you know I find more heart in a lot of these little children? Now listen carefully to what I'm telling you. I find often that these little children, I find that they have a heart of love, a heart of understanding, and they grow. Have you ever watched little children just grow and grow in a knowledge of the truth? And then, have you ever watched children that grow in a knowledge of the truth? Have you ever watched them turn away from the truth and turn away from the church and turn away from God? They become silly doves without heart. They become silly women that are ever learning. They knew more truth. I can show you preachers today that 10 years ago were established in the truth that today do not know the truth at all. They cannot recognize truth from error. I can show you preachers and churches that once were established in the truth that no longer have any idea what the truth is. They're ever learning. Are they still going to church every Sunday? They're ever learning, but they're not coming to a knowledge of the truth. Because God will not show them the truth. Why will God not show them the truth? They're silly doves. They're foolish virgins. They're shut out of the kingdom. Go with me to Hebrews. Go forward in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. The Apostle Paul was greatly burdened. He was heavily burdened because many of the Hebrews that he had been preaching to and talking to, these Hebrews that he loved, these Jews that he said he would give his own life. He said, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for the sake of the Jews. I would do anything to try to save the Jews. He loved the Jewish nation. And yet he said, as I try to work with them and teach them and preach to them, he says, I find they are becoming what? Here's the expression in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 beginning in verse 11. He says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. They're dull of hearing. Do you know why people get dull of hearing? Guess what goes away first? Guess what they lose first? The heart. The heart's not in it. You know what happens when your heart isn't in going to God's house? You know what happens when your heart is not in studying God's Word? You know what happens when your heart is not in it? Soon you're going to become dull of hearing also. If your heart is not in it, everything else is going to go away from God. If your heart is not toward your family, everything else, every other part of you is going to go away from your family. They're dull of hearing. Verse 12 says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. What's he saying? It's time that you ought to be teachers. You have been in this educational process. You have been in this learning process long enough that you ought to be teachers. And you have need that one teach you again what are the basic principles of Christianity. Isn't that sad? Do you know why America is being destroyed today? It's because America, and I'm not talking about Washington, D.C., I'm talking about the churches have become silly doves without heart. Silly women led captive. People that there ought to be teachers by now, and they have need that one teach them again, which be the very basic principles of the Word of God. They're ever learning, but they're never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. This passage comes on down and describes them more than the problems that they have because of that condition. Do you remember how Paul expressed it to the church at Ephesus? He says that God gave to the church, He gave pastors and teachers for the edifying of the body of Christ. That is, God gives His people, He gives them pastors and teachers to teach the people the Word of God so that the people can grow and that they will not be silly doves, but that they will be strong soldiers of Jesus Christ. And yet sometimes there are people that are not interested in the Word of God, and they're not growing in the knowledge of the truth. They're ever learning, but they're never coming to a knowledge of the truth. They're silly doves without heart. And the way Paul expresses it in Ephesians chapter 4 is that even though God gives the church pastors and teachers, the people are still children that are tossed. How does the expression go there? They're tossed what? To and fro with every wind of doctrine. Can you tell me how in the world people who have been in God's house for years and years, how can whole churches just be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine? It's because way back there they became something that is described in Hosea 7:11. Ephraim is like a silly dove without heart. Children. They're still children. They're still babes. That's the way Paul says it to the church at Corinth. He says, it's time for you to be mature and you're still babes in Christ. says, I have many things to say, and I can't say them because you're still little babes. It's a sad condition when Ephraim became a silly dove without heart, because the result was their destruction. America is going to be destroyed because America has become a silly dove without heart. We now despise God. You go home and read the rest of Hosea chapter 7, and you'll find that everything that's said there about Ephraim is true of America today. We have turned our backs on God. We have rebelled against God. And I'm talking about doves, children of God in America, have turned their backs on God. Brethren, it's time for every one of us to go home and examine ourselves and see what's wrong in my life. And if you sit here and you don't think anything's wrong in your life, you have a major, major problem, because there's something wrong in every one of our lives. There is not a person here that is a perfect dove. There's not a person here that in some way is not a silly dove. And we need to pray, God, open my eyes. Help me to return to you. What's the first and great commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Do you love God that much, or are you a silly dove without heart? May God help us to see ourselves as we really are, to realize that most of us are still silly doves, and may God help us to repent lest we be destroyed, is my prayer for Christ's sake.